Scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and I would like to invite you to join me in the reading of the word. Now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he mocked the Jews. He said in the presence of his associates and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn once at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "That stone wall they are building, any fox going up on it would break it down. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their taunt back on their own heads and give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt and do not let their sin be blotted out from your sight. For they have hurled insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall, and all the wall was joined together to have its height, for the people had a mind to work." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Opposition is what makes our faith muscle grow. The Christian experience is not one of a constant high. We will have disappointments in life, trials, frustrations, etc. As John Maxwell has said, you can easily determine the caliber of a person by the amount of opposition it takes to discourage him or her. Nehemiah was a man of great caliber. The threats, insults, attacks could not keep him from finishing the task that God entrusted to him. Perhaps in his humanity, he got fearful there for a little bit, but then he would remember that the battle didn't belong to him, but to the Lord. The fact that God had called him to go rebuild the gates and the walls in Jerusalem did not mean that he and his people would not encounter opposition. The minute Sanballat, the governor of Samaria, heard that they were back and they were rebuilding the gates and the wall, he got angry. He, as we read, he was greatly incensed because he would no longer have control of that area, and it would truly hurt his economy. And you and I know that angry people use their anger to manipulate. Tobiah joined him, and they began to ridicule Nehemiah and to threaten the people. They spoke negative words over them, saying, as we just read, "If a little fox climbs on it, he will break down their walls." Most probably you have also heard something similar to that. When you were attempting to do something that maybe it was new, maybe God was calling you to do it, or maybe you got inspired to do, and people even in your family or maybe even your spouse would say to you, "You're too old for that. We don't have the money. How is that going to happen? And if it is the church, well, we've never done it that way before." But that does not mean that God is not in it. You see, then you waste your words and your time trying to explain to people why it will work. and why you think you could do it. Not Nehemiah. Remember, he was a man of faith and strong convictions. What was the first thing he would do every time the attacks and the doubt would come? He would go to the Lord in prayer. All throughout the book of Nehemiah, we see that he remains steady and constant, that he does not abandon his life of prayer. He did not take the insults personally. After all, those were not his enemies, but God's enemy. So he took them to God in prayer. He prayed down the wrath of God upon them. This is called imprecatory prayer. Basically, he moved out of the way so God could do what God needed to do to them. Guess what? Even though Nehemiah was praying on this side, the foursome did not stop there. And I call them the foursome because it was four of them. See, there was Sambala and the Samaritans from the north, the Arabs from the south, the Ashdodites from the west, and the Ammonites from the east. They thought they could corner him and destroy what he was attempting to do. Then the word came to Nehemiah that some of the people were getting discouraged and afraid. We read this in verse 11. Because their enemies were threatening them. They were saying, when you're not looking, we're going to come and we're going to kill you and we're going to kill your families. See, once fear settles in our hearts, we lose focus. The people were already physically tired, borderline exhausted. You know, it was hard work. They were carrying all those heavy stones. And as someone has said, your soul and your body live so close together that the health of one affects the other. When our souls are wounded and we don't deal with the pain, eventually, the pain will be reflected in our physical body. That's why at times we pop a lot of pills, and still the pain doesn't go away. And the physical ailment is not resolved because it's not really the body. It's the soul that is wounded. In 2003, a Canadian medical doctor named Gabor Mate wrote a book titled When the Body Says No. And he deals with all of this. You see, I like to call them holes. The holes in our souls, the pain that we don't deal with, will come back sooner or later. You know, sometimes we just stuff it down. We're good at that. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. Because many times our souls are in need of repair and restoration. Physical, verbal, emotional, sexual abuse left untreated will make our soul sick. Sexual sins will corrupt our bodies. Proverbs 6, 32, 33, and 1 Peter 2:11. Unfortunately, whatever we receive, we will impart. If we walk in anger all the time, that's exactly what we are going to impart to others. If we walk in joy, That's exactly what we are going to impart to others. If we walk in unforgiveness because for years we have been mistreated, or because something happened in our childhood, because you know it usually goes back to that, our family of origin, and we have never dealt with it, it will come back. And then we become Christians and we think we can just pray it away, or the devil is doing it, or we say the devil is attacking. Yes, sometimes the devil is attacking us. But there comes a time that we need to look inward and deal with those holes in our souls. Those negative words that were spoken to us when we were a child, or maybe we were still inside our mother's womb. Those relationships that were broken. People who rejected us. People who were in authority over us, who spoke terrible words about us. And we have never taken the time to deal with that. We learn how to cope with it. We learn how to minimize it. But we never learn how to deal with that and receive the restoration. And I want to tell you that no pill in the world can take away that pain. We only get healed from that through the process of forgiveness. Releasing those who hurt us, those who inflicted the pain in our souls, to the Lord. And forgiving them, releasing them to the Lord. You see, Nehemiah was a wise and bold leader. So he went to his people and he assembled them. Because you see, when we are physically exhausted, bogged down by the pain in our soul, we get easily discouraged. And so Nehemiah came up with a new plan of defense. He stationed extra people and guards behind the lowest points of the wall. Verse 13 tells us about it. And they were working with one hand, and with the other hand they were holding a sword or a spear. And spiritually speaking, for us, the sword is the word of God. As Ephesians 6:17 tells us, it is an offensive weapon. One we must use all the time. Even Jesus did it. When he was preparing himself and he went to the desert and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, and the enemy came to attack him, to test him, to tempt him, he did the same thing. Three times he said to the enemy, "It is written, it is written, it is written." In addition, Nehemiah brought the people together, as I said, not to scold them, but to encourage them and to remind them of the greatness of God and his presence with them. He said, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fights for you and your family and your children and your brothers and your sisters. He's with us. The Lord frustrated the plans of the enemies, and they were able to return to work." Just like he told Joshua the same thing he tells you today. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For I am with you wherever you go. God's speaking those words over his people today. And once the people dealt with their discouragement, they went back to work with a renewed spirit. Nehemiah had a plan of defense. It was a plan that was all-encompassing. It included security, clear communication, and trust in God. He was a servant leader. He did not just tell them what to do. He was right there with them. In verse 23, we read, "Neither I nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off their dresses. Each had his weapon even when it was time to go for water." They all came together in unity to finish the task that God had entrusted them with. In the natural, my friends, we see that God sent Nehemiah to rebuild structures, the gates, the walls. But I want to tell you that it was deeper than that. Though the rebuilding was, as I said, physical structures, God was rebuilding his people as well. He was teaching them how to confront opposition, how to deal with discouragement, how to deal with their broken souls. A great lesson for his church today. Jesus said it clearly. He said, "In the world you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." John 16:33. Yes, we will have some exuberant mountaintop experiences, but we will have some valley too, because this is a fallen world. And bad things happen to good people. And sometimes there are no happy endings. But it is through these valley experiences that you and I grow and mature. And that's how our relationship with Jesus deepens. Because I want you to remember that our pain has a purpose. We must be intentional about keeping our eyes on Jesus through it all. One of my favorite characters from the Old Testament is Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat finds out, they come to him and they let him know that, again, he's being attacked by the Moabites and the Ammonites, I want to say, and the Perizzites. These people were relentless. But I love the prayer that he prayed. He went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but we will keep our eyes on you." If you and I put our eyes on the situation around us and not on Jesus, we will give in to discouragement. The spirits of Sanballat and Tobiah are still around us today. Fear, doubt, discouragement. And when we allow discouragement into our hearts, discouragement doesn't just come alone. It brings friends, company. One of them is fatigue. And we read it right here in this story. Verse 10a, the strength of the workers is giving out. Then comes frustration. Verse 10b, there is so much rubble, we cannot build the wall. Then fear, verse 11, Our enemy said before we know it or see it, they will kill us and kill our family members. Another one, focus is totally lost. Verses 11 and 12. Because they said over and over, whenever you turn, they will attack us. They told us 10 times. You know, we begin to rehearse the problems, the challenges, the negativity. This will never work. What's plan B? What's plan C? Thank God for Nehemiah. He possessed a spirit of excellence. That's the kind of spirit I'd like to have. He was always able to bring them back to focus on the Lord. That was his major defense against the spirit of discouragement. Friends, like Nehemiah, you and I have been called to build his kingdom, to be kingdom builders, not to repair broken walls and gates, but broken lives. I've been doing this for quite a while, and I've never met so many depressed people as I have lately. Depression, oppression, anxiety, hopelessness. And I'm not going to lie. As you already know, you and I will face oppositions, challenges, trials. But we do not give up, because we know, as the Apostle Paul would say, in whom we have believed. Trials and oppositions come to us to shake our very foundation and our faith. And it is in those times that we need to answer the question, is my faith on faith or is my faith on Jesus Christ? Can my faith be diminished and destroyed over this situation? Or can I use this situation for my faith to grow? In the words of John Wesley, founder of Methodism, unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, do not be weary in well-doing. Beloved, we serve the God of hosts. He have angel armies all around us at our disposal. We do not pray to angels, but we do pray for God to send angels to protect us and to watch over us. As a matter of fact, it is promised all over the Bible. Psalm 91 says, and the angels of the Lord will encamp around you. These are promises. The questions still remain. In spite of the opposition, are we willing to build his kingdom? If the answer is yes, his hand of protection will always be upon us. As we come together, dependent on him, and work side by side to each other, he has promised us the victory. and together we shall overcome. Let us pray. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today. I don't know what they brought in their hearts, but you do know. I don't know about their souls. If they came in with a broken spirit. But I do know that you are the God who heals us. And you are the God who restores us. And so I pray, Father God, right now, restore our souls today. And I pray that a double portion of your Holy Spirit will fall upon us so that we could be bold as lions as we go out proclaiming the gospel of good news and we continue to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.